Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sipped.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
To infinity and beyond.
There's a touch of madness around here.
Welcome to the DDP Today Sorcerers Runaround Table, a show that's a little bit about us, a lot about running, and fun for the whole family. My name is Kyle, and I am so excited to be joined by two of our Sorcerers captains tonight. We have Mr. Matt Zurich and John Castano. We're just going to go around the table and see how everyone's doing tonight. So Mr. Margaritaville himself, Mr. John Castano, how you doing?
I'm doing good. No, I like that. I like that title. Keeping up with my running. Just need to get back to the gym, but all my everything's good on the running front. Almost time for my running season to start.
All right. The snow's all melted at this point, or still running through some of that?
No, it's gone. Oh, I'm so happy it's gone.
Awesome. And we're going to head over to the man who should probably own some stocks in Nike by this point, Mr. Matt Zurich. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. It's 70 degrees for the first time this year today. So the impending 100 plus degrees is on the way, and you can feel it coming in. So, the good weather in Vegas is always accompanied by extremely windy. So I have that to look forward to in the upcoming weeks here. But things are really good, man. I'm excited to do this. I'm excited to chat with you two and talk a little around Disney.
Awesome. I'm excited to chat with you guys too. It's been a hot minute since we've been able to hop on and just chat about what's going on in the Run Disney spheres. So today, the topic that we have on hand is going to revolve mostly around registration for Run Disney events in general. So when it comes to you doing the registration, if you want to bookmark this episode so you have this to refer back to, this information that we're going to cover will kind of be a guide for Run Disney registration in general. Before we get started, guys, I got a couple dates that I'm going to run through that just kind of gives us an idea of what's coming up in the Run Disney realm. So we are 12 days out from Wine and Dine registration. That's going to happen March 12th. We are 48 days from Springtime Surprise. We are 40 days to registration for Marathon Weekend. We are 244 days from Wine and Dine Race Weekend. And we are 316 days away from Marathon Weekend 2025. Can't believe this is already, like, we're already talking about all of these dates, and it feels like we just finished a big weekend in January. Are you guys getting excited?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot believe I've already had to book my room for Marathon Weekend, start thinking about Marathon Weekend, and I was talking to John before saying, I can't believe registration is only 40 days away. I remember registration last year like it was yesterday, and we all remember, well, the 2023 registration woes we had for the for the crazy year that was. But I mean, for you guys, 12 days to Wine and Dine registration. What? Let that sink in for a second. Are you guys nervous, excited? What are you guys looking forward to the most here coming up?
Yeah, just the whole nervous, just for the stupid registration, getting in. That's the first hurdle. And then the excitement will get in once you hit the submit button and you get congratulations, you're entered.
So the most questions I get real quick are about, how do I register? What are the tips and tricks to register? So for someone like me, I'm very lucky in that a majority of my work, I do work remote from the, I almost said lovely confines of my own home, but my own office in my own house. So registration for me is really simple because I don't have to request time off. I don't have to, if my schedule around. But I know for you two, you have to. So what are the plans for that? Are you taking the day off? What are your recommendations with someone that maybe doesn't work remote for people to sign up?
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at it as I actually scheduled myself to go in for noon that day just to make sure at 10 o'clock when registration opens, I can sit there for however long I need to make sure that I can get in and, you know, have a plan A race, have a plan B race, just in case things, you know, don't quite work out depending when you get in. John, do you want to just kind of talk about checklists that you have in your mind, kind of the days leading up to registration weekend?
Yeah, you have to get your whole, what's the word I'm looking for with your whole, like, not con- I don't want to say control panel. I can't think of the word I'm using. Your whole, like, computers.
Dashboard?
You got to have your computers. You got to, like, you got
to. Your setup. Ready. You have to get, like, your base station set up.
That's
all
what
your
it is.
Screens.
You got to get your screens. You got to have, like, I like to have, I got two screens on the computer. So I have a couple tabs open there. I usually get on, you know, my phone. I maybe will have an iPad or, like, something else just to be, give me the best chance of getting in. And then
so the dirty secret I think that John's talking about is Disney recommends one tab per person. Now that's not going to happen.
No.
So my recommendation, John's and Kyle's going to be, I'm going to talk for them. Our recommendation is we want to have as many tabs open as possible. There's no way for them to track it. They're not going to kick you out, but it gives you the most opportunities once you're put in the random waiting room.
Yes.
And
so, John,
honestly,
you're smart with the iPad and the computers and the phone. I have everything going as well.
And you have to make sure, just for the ease, before you do any of this, you have to have a Run Disney account. If you do not have, if this is your first race, you have to have a Run Disney account. And on each of your devices, you need to be signed in to your Run Disney account on a separate tab. And the only thing you have to remember as time is going by, to keep checking your Run Disney account, because it automatic, I don't know how, whatever it is, every 10, 15 minutes, it'll sign you out. So you have to just keep clicking over that tab quick and just signing yourself back in. Make sure you sign in, because that just makes it easier once you do get in to your registration page. It's already, they kind of, they meld together, that little tab, and then your Run Disney of a registration page. It just makes everything quicker.
And that morning, make sure that you tune into the Sorcerer's Running page, because we will have a live going where as people get in, we're actually able to share the link so that people can get bumped up in the line and hopefully have a better chance of getting registered for what they want to. Out of the three of us chatting tonight, I'm the rookie. I have the least number of Run Disney races under my belt. So between Matt and John, they definitely have a lot. They've seen a lot more. They've done a lot more. And so all these tips and tricks coming from these guys, it is vetted. It is it is the absolute down to the T information that you're going to want to have in front of you. So let's say the morning of, we're getting ready, we have all our tabs open. Matt, what can we expect at 10 o'clock when registration opens?
Well, I wish it was 10 a.m. for me. I think it's 7 a.m. for me out here. So if I log on at 10 a.m., it's too late. I'm not doing it. However, I want to go back to the group and what we did last year, and it was a huge success. So just for reference, what Kyle was talking about is typically on registration morning, you're gonna open all your tabs, you're gonna wait by yourself, maybe you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tabs open, and you're gonna get an estimated time. And how Disney does it is the link is typically gonna open, I want to say for the most recent one for the Halloween half weekend at Disneyland, the link opened 20 minutes before 10 a.m. Eastern. Now, all that does is putting you in a holding room and in a randomized order. So whether you entered at, whether you were the first one in or the 10,000th person in, what it does is it puts you in a holding room. Once they open up the registration, it could be at 10 o'clock, 10:01, 10:02, could be 9:58, that's happened before. It's just going to give you a random estimated time to come back to be able to sign up. Now, why the group and what we did was so important is if I have 10 tabs open and one of my tabs says 1 minute, well, I can sign myself up for a race or a challenge. Now, I have 8 other tabs open. If one or two of those tabs is 10 minutes and 20 minutes, and John doesn't have anything that says, what's the dreaded one, John? More than an hour?
More than an hour, yeah.
More than an hour.
More than an hour, yeah.
If John only has 10 tabs that say over an hour, there's actually a unique link in the bottom of that. And if you join the Zoom, it's a very informal, just fun. We're all having coffee. And I think Justin last year was actually in the Polynesian. Remember that when he signed up? He went from the parking lot to the Polynesian.
He initially was driving in. Yeah.
He was
Zooming in the car.
And you can share that link with someone else who can input it into their web browser. And then they take over that time. So instead of having 10 opportunities to sign up for the race, we can basically ensure that everybody in that Zoom call is going to get signed up for the race they want. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to say this. I'm going to say it though, knock on wood. In all my Disney races I've been doing since 2014, I have never not been able to sign up for a race that I've wanted to. And last year was the least stressful it's been for me. So I highly advise join the running page, jump on the Zoom, even if you're not going to sign up for Wine and Dine. So I'm not going to Wine and Dine this year. I can't swing it. I'm still going to be on the morning on March 12th. I'm going to have my tabs open just to help all of you sign up if I can get something sooner. And if you want to sign up for Marathon Weekend, it's a great time to hop in, say hello to everyone, and just see what it's like. Because in 40 days, it's the Marathon Weekend one. But John, you got anything to add to that?
No, the only I was just, yeah, you just it says, like you said, it says 10 o'clock, but just 9:30. Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably start that Zoom at like 9:30. Just be on that web early because Disney IT,
you never
we don't,
know.
I mean, you don't know when it starts. I mean, we were sitting there, like you said, with what year was that? 2 years ago?
2023.
I mean, we were sitting. It started at 10, but we didn't get like registered till 2 in the afternoon. We were just sitting there for 5 hours because it's an experience.
Because we broke Disney.
Yeah, that was.
We ended up breaking Disney registration. Yep, go ahead, Matt.
So real quick, and Kyle, maybe you know this too. Anything people should do with their Run Disney account. So the Run Disney account is the exact same login as your unique Disney account, ESPN account across all the platforms. You recommend people go in now, a week before, and just update all their information so they don't have to do anything through the actual registration process, correct?
Yes, to make sure that you have as little stress registration morning, go in now. If you don't have an account, now is a great time to go in, set it up, write down your username, write down your password so that you have that available. And at the end of the day, the night before, just go in and make sure that everything is set. John, when it comes to actually registering, can you register more than one person in a registration?
Yes, you can register more than one person. Luckily enough, I've never had to do that. I've only had to register myself. I mean, that also takes, you know, that's taking time away from you registering because even if you fill out all the information, you don't get, until you get that confirmation email, you're not in the race. They also have things like if you want to submit a proof of time for, what is it? Usually it's under, what is it for?
So they changed it. So now
I know it's 2:15 for a half.
2:30. So now it's under 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Okay.
As of this season for an updated corral placement.
Okay. So if you can prove on it has to be a certified race in your area, wherever you want. If you have a race that's under that, you can submit that to get in the better corral, but you can skip all of that during registration and you can, cause they give you till whatever. I know for Marathon Weekend, once you register, you usually have till sometime in September to update your race that if you want for proof of time, but you can skip all that just to save yourself what minutes to get registered, because as you're sitting, if you do have that dreaded more than an hour wait, there'll be little pop-ups down the bottom. If you're sitting there long enough, there'll be pop-ups that'll say 5K sold out, 10K sold out. So they like Kyle was saying, always have the what you want and have a backup. So if you want to do the challenge, but that gets sold out, then you can do the half. But yeah, so just try to save yourself any small minutes you can in registering.
Yeah. And so Matt, you had something else to add there?
I just want to add on the actual process. So to John's point, once you get through, it's going to basically put you to the page that you can register. The first set is you're going to pick the race or challenge you want for you or the person you're signing up. From there, it's going to ask you a series of questions. There's some stuff you have to fill out there. Name, address, phone number, emergency contact. Have you done Run Disney races before? To John's point, just rush through that as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
leave the proof of time. Yep. Leave the proof of time blank. Do not pre-order any merchandise. This can all be done immediately after you sign up until a certain date.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is very, it's in the future. To sign up someone else, Kyle, at the end of your registration, right before you check out, it'll say at the bottom, would you like to register another person? To John's point, if you do that, you are not locked in yet until you sign someone up. So I typically recommend signing yourself up if it's important to you. Like, let's say you want to run Dopey. Like, I have to run Dopey this year. And my spouse kind of wants to do the 10K. My recommendation would be sign yourself up for Dopey. Click the confirmation button. Get that over and done with. And then grab another unique ID to sign that person up. In the past, I don't know if they've done this anymore. It's been hit or miss. Immediately when you sign up, sometimes there's even a button that says, do you want to sign someone else up? So you can sign someone else up right after through that link and reservation still. I wouldn't count on that, but I just wanted to be clear about if your race or your partner's race or your children's race is more important than maybe someone else, secure your spot because it will go extremely quick.
Yeah, and that's why you should. That's the thing with the tabs too. Like you could have a 20-minute tab, and you're signing up, and then you get that backup tab to sign the next person up.
And you'll also have us in the Zoom chat posting links and that kind of stuff. So if you do have a link that's further out compared to a link that's in the group, grab the link that's in the group, and you'll be able to then jump the line in that case and get your next registration going. I remember sitting there and just seeing 5K sold out, 10K, Goofy, Dopey. And basically all that was left was the marathon. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing the marathon again. That's how this is going to go. So have a plan A, have a plan B, and just know that you have us there to support and kind of walk you through the process if this is your first time going as well. So once you've got your registration, your confirmation, you're locked in, when you finish that conversation, we're going to look at where are you staying? What resorts are you picking to for race weekend? So, John, do you mind just mentioning just where you guys have stayed and how that's kind of worked out for you guys?
We've always stayed at Pop. It works out nice especially for like the Expo, because it's right near Wide World of Sports. If you want to get there quick, but as far as like for race days, I've never, the bus, it's a pretty easy route to get to Epcot, so I've never experienced the whole dreaded buses getting lost and thing. And they, as far as every year I've done, when I go on a bus, whether it be the first bus or like the fifth bus, there's usually about 10-12 buses just sitting there waiting. So as far as my experience with Pop, it's been perfect. I've never ever had any mistake whatsoever of getting there, not in like 10-15 minutes.
Awesome. And so Matt, where have you tended to want to stay?
Yeah, so real quick, I'll add on what John said. I was looking today, I was just curious what rooms cost on marathon weekend, because they actually opened up 2025 reservations now. So if you are interested in going, reach out to Justin Away With Me Travel. He can get you signed up for marathon weekend. He can get the rooms now because they will go up in price and they will be harder to get after April. So once people sign up, then they typically get their rooms. My recommendation would be getting the rooms now. I looked at Pop John, today. It was like 220 a room, 222 a night, which is nothing. I mean, just if you travel anywhere now, it's $350 a night, no matter where you go in the US. It's crazy. no matter where you travel.
And as far as like you're saying with booking now, if you're booking just a room, you just got, all you have to do is put $200 down, and that's all. Like you, that reserves your room, and it's all refundable. If something happens, you don't get in, you want the money. It's kind of a no brainer. Just if it's open, book it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say for Wine and Dine, we're waiting to the 7 month window to book in at Saratoga. So Shan called a couple months ago just to book rooms at All Star, just to say we have something booked to make sure that you're there when you need to be there. Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off there, Matt. Go ahead.
You're planning on staying at Saratoga?
Yes, we are. Oh. It's going to be a party at Toga.
Yeah, we already got our rooms there. Yeah, we're switching it up this year for Wine Dine. I've never run Wine Dine, so we're going crazy and we're staying somewhere else. We already got Saratoga.
Oh, boy. John's going to get on the pop bus and go to the wrong hotel and then even come back. So I typically own at the Boardwalk. This upcoming marathon weekend, I have a room booked at the Boardwalk. I stayed at Boardwalk for Dopey when I did it in 2023. They were doing renovations on half of the rooms during marathon weekend this past year. So I actually couldn't get a room at 11 months last year for marathon weekend. So I stayed at the Grandestino Tower at Coronado Springs. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was not expensive. I think it was under $300 a night for a Grandestino Tower room. And like John said, plenty of buses, easy to get in and out of, had no issues, lots of runners. It's a great resort. And one of the things that I like about, I know John likes about Pop because we've talked about it. And what I liked about Coronado, there's a great, running loop. So to get some of those miles in before the actual weekend, just to shake it out, just to have fun. And there's a ton of runners. So like when I was running just some like an easy 5 mile, 6 mile run at a very easy pace, a couple of people were like, hey, you mind if I join? Next thing you know, there's three or four of us just running, talking from different places. So those are the two main places that I've stayed. And I'm just looking forward to be back at the Boardwalk this year. It's kind of like the central hub for the DDP Sorcerers Run Club hangout. I'm excited to have a room there.
And you can look out over the Boardwalk as people are running down and hello, wave, cheer.
I am so spoiled because for Dopey, we saved up 2 years of points. And my brother came in with my nieces and nephews and my sister-in-law, my mom, my dad, my wife, and I. We stayed in a 3-bedroom grand villa for like 6 or 7 days during Dopey weekend. And it's just like every time I go there now and I go to a normal room, I'm just like, I remember the big room. So it's tough to go back. But what about you, Kyle? You're a Grand Flow?
Yeah. So, John, just like you guys, for Wine and Dine, we're going to be at Saratoga for the first time over a race weekend. We stayed there one night a little while ago, and we're going to see how that goes, hopping on the buses. The last couple of races, we've been at Grand Flow. And honestly, using the monorail has been such an easy transition between resort to Epcot, and there and back. If it's raining, at least you're covered. It really was seamless. And fortunately, when we were, you know, hopping on the monorail, we didn't have any issues with anything breaking down or anything like that. We hopped on, well, for marathon, I hopped on the monorail at 3 a.m. Pretty sure it was the first one that came rolling in, and I was the only one in the car, and it was kind of eerie, but also really nice to just kind of like have an opportunity to shake some of the jitters out and just kind of go through how the day is going to go in that case, quiet your mind, all of that. Matt, you had something else you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to be clear. So for the Boardwalk and for Pop Century and every resort except for the monorail loop are buses only, exclusively. Mm-hmm. No Skyliner, only buses. And I'm bringing this up now because we have 12 days to registration for Wine and Dine. We've got 40 to marathon weekend, and people are starting to think about where they're going to stay, what the planning is like. And when you first sign up, or if you haven't been there in a while, these are the little things that you're like, logistically, I love Run Disney. One of the things I don't think they do a great job of is information like this to be mm-hmm. easily accessible. It's a little all over the place, so you kind of rely on each other for it. But Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, you could only take the monorail to Epcot for the race, correct? There were no bus options.
There were no bus options. There were bus options to get to the expo, to ESPN Center,
yeah.
but there were no buses the actual morning of the races. Everyone had to take the monorail. So if you're not a fan of the monorail, Grand Flow or any of the monorail resorts may not be an option that you want to look at. If you'd rather be on a bus on the ground, totally get it. But honestly, in our experience, the monorail was seamless. It was so easy to get to and from the race at that point. Looking at kind of what we have going for the rest of the show here, we're just going to switch gears, and we actually have a part of the Sorcerer family that's going to be hopping on, and they're going to go through part of their Princess Weekend running the half marathon. So we're going to turn the table over to Matt and John talking with Jim and Sarah. Thank you so much, Jim and Sarah, for coming on and taking the time to share with us your experience over Princess Weekend. I'm going to turn the table over to Matt and John, who are going to ask you guys a couple questions just about how it went. And Matt, the table is yours.
Lucky me, Jim and Sarah. Thank you for joining us here. I'm excited to chat with two people that just ran Princess Weekend. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very good.
Good.
So we just got back. This is, what is today? Thursday. We just got back from the previous weekend running Princess. A really broad kind of question is, how was it?
It was fun. It was early, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was a special time for me to get to spend time with my daughter. So.
Oh, that is really cool. So is this your guys' first run Disney race together?
No, it's our third.
Third. And we don't really run together. We start together, but...
He's too well, fast.
I think we've all experienced that with someone in our run Disney journey. The corral hanging out is one part of the race, and the race is another part of the race. So what is your guys' run Disney history? How many races have you done? I know you said this is your third together. Have you run separately before? And what weekends have you done in the past?
We started with Rich and signed up for the Star Wars run right before COVID, and that got canceled. So then we signed up for the next available one, which was the, do you remember? It was a 10K.
So I think it was Wine and Dine 2021, right. Which is the, yep. The Oogie Boogie 10K, right?
Correct. Yes. That's one. Yes. Yep. And then we did the 10-mile spring surprise, and then this one.
Okay. So we've done three different – so we've done Wine and Dine, we've done Springtime Surprise, and Princess.
Yep.
So before we kind of – John dives us into the weekend here, I just have a question. Out of the three of them, which one did you guys enjoy the most?
Yeah, I probably enjoyed our first one just because it was our first one. And I like Halloween. It had a bit of that flavor to it as well.
Awesome, awesome. So I'm going to kick it over to John now. He's going to kind of run through what this weekend was like, where you stayed, and what races you ran.
Did you stay on property, off property?
Well, Sarah lives here in Orlando. So she had her own apartment. And we come down, my wife and I come down and visit her usually once or twice a year. And we try to make it a longer week. So we get an Airbnb and we stay for over a week. So we're in celebration this year. And so, Sarah did stay overnight with us. So
how was your because you get a little wiggle room when you stay off property. So how was your drive into race morning? Like how early and everything did you get there to? Because I've only ever stayed on property. So how was that experience of driving into property and parking? And
I think
all that?
We left our house at 3:30 and got there at 3:45, I believe.
Yeah, it looked like it's going to be a long drive. And the Apple Maps said it was only 15 minutes, but we got close to Epcot, and there was a long line of cars to get in, but it went pretty quick. So,
oh, good. So everything, beast went smoothly as far as that. And then, with that, how was your experience? Because you only did the half, so you get that little bit of, you don't have to be there the first day. How was your ESPN, like picking up your bibs? Did you go get merchandise? Was it like sold out things in there? Like, I was, because it's usually a little nutty there sometimes.
And my father came with us as well. So my father, my wife, and I went Saturday afternoon, or maybe it was morning. And it wasn't crowded at all. I mean, there's plenty of people, but it's no lines for the bib pickup, and t-shirt went really quick as well. Looked like some of the output, you know, the do that by bib number and t-shirt size. The looked like the mutant t-shirt size had a huge line. XL, two people. So the lines went pretty quick. It's kind of tradition for me, at least. I had to have one adult beverage there because I like those Run Dizzy cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried the pineapple cider, and it's quite tasty.
John, he's talking your language now. So the pineapple cider over at the expo is one of the best possible things. So,
Do you bring
your refillable cup back, or do you forget like I do every time and have a collection of them now?
Actually, this I didn't realize they were refillable till this year. And even although I figured it out, or I saw it on Saturday, I didn't really realize I could bring it on Sunday at the race. I mean, my wife came to watch, and I still didn't bring it. So I bought it on that's my first beer at the race, after the race, and I still didn't bring the refill cup. So next year, I'm sure I'll remember.
Yeah, don't they change? Like, see, I've never bought one. Don't they change the cup some years? No, it's always the same one? Okay.
Well, I've gotten the same.
I know Sarah bought one for her. Like, she was drinking while I was running last year. So this past marathon as well, I'll have to sneak her cup down this year.
Yeah, and we've think we're up to four or five right now. So you can loan that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small fee.
For a small fee. Exactly. Yeah.
So as far as, okay, you got all these stuff. So how was the race in general? Like, it was the same kind of as marathon weekend. You just start in Epcot, go to Magic Kingdom, and then back. Is that what the half was?
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So how was, because I know you had posted in the group about how you had, was it like 10 or 11 miles a couple weeks or a week before, and then you were a little nervous about the last three. So how did all of that go for you?
It actually went pretty well. So prior to this weekend or in training, I hadn't run more than 10 miles in one run. So I was a little nervous about that, especially when I did that 10 to 11 mile practice run. I was wiped out. But this time, I don't know if I started a little slower or something. I usually do end up walking, you know, every mile or 2 miles, I'll walk for a couple blocks, just get to my breath. This time I made it over 7 miles without walking, and finished the race without a hole. I mean, I was still tired and my feet hurt, but it wasn't that bad. I was quite proud of it. How about you, Sarah?
Well, my longest run was, I think, 7 miles. And then so jumping from 7 to 13 with a stretch, but I did it. And it's easy when everyone else is, you know, you start running with people and then you walk and then you run with people and it's, you know, you get motivated watching each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty fun, pretty easy. Nobody's that fast, so.
So you guys brought up a really good point that every year reminds me, I forget about it. And then when I start running, like this past marathon year where these two gentlemen were ahead of me and I had to catch up to them, and you just get this adrenaline being around other people. So, Jim, I know you were nervous only running 10. Sarah, you only ran 7. But when did you realize, never having gone that distance, that I'm going to do this? I'm going to get this done, never having gone that distance before?
I feel like when I started, I went into mindset of I have to get this done. Like, you know, we paid for it. I got up this early. There's no not finishing isn't an option. I did not want to see the balloon lady. So I was like, just keep running, no matter what, keep running. Just don't stop. And yeah, I did it.
I guess I wasn't that nervous about finishing because I knew that it's, I have a, for me, it's fairly quick pace. And I knew that's far down the head. I could walk last 5 miles, not worry about it. So I wasn't too nervous at all. But it's when I saw that I had gone 7 miles without really walking, I thought, oh, this I'm going to be able to finish this while doing my normal running pace. So that's when I kind of figured out. But I have to say that last mile, mile and a half,
yeah,
it was a struggle. I knew my wife and father were up ahead of me waiting to gym on. I was walking and thought, okay, I need to start running so I can run by them instead of walk by them. So they inspired me too.
Because the end, the last mile is pretty much, is it World Showcase? And then you go out the back towards Test Track. Is it still that way?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because that, yeah, okay, yeah, because World Showcase, that's, it never seems that big, you know, when you're walking, but that yeah. last mile of World Showcase running is like, you run into it and you say, Mexico's very yeah. far away right now.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned it, it wasn't through World Showcase. We came in
over... Living with the Land, like behind Soren.
Yep, and then went by hand the new park.
Oh, so they sent you by the front. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Had a really sharp U-turn right down that middle path between the two pines. Yeah.
So, Sarah, I'm going to start with you here real quick. I do have a question. What was your favorite part of the half marathon course?
I love watching everyone's costumes and just seeing, like, how people run and, like, who they're running with. Some people are running and talking on the phone the whole time. Some people are running alone. And it just kept me going because I was people watching the whole time. So that was my favorite part.
That's really cool. What about you, Jim?
I would say it's probably Main Street because you get, you know, you saw the Main Street, you saw the castle. Also, you saw all the people lining Main Street, cheering people on. I like that a lot. And my brain couldn't help but look down and see the railroad tracks. I thought, oh, cool. They filled it in with the rubber so it wouldn't trip on them.
Yes. That is very nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, running down Main Street is really hard to explain to somebody that's never actually done it and felt that energy. And the amount of people that are on Main Street, I mean, Sarah, did you ever think there would be that many people up that early on Main Street while you're running and they're standing there in the semi-cold weather?
No, definitely not, especially my mom, because she was giving us some grief about getting up that early. So it was definitely fun seeing her and my papa cheering us on that early in the morning.
That's so great. It's and at the half marathon, I know it's the perfect time. It's about midway point through mm-hmm. the race. Was that right, John?
Yeah. Did you about what, seven miles once you're through?
Yep.
Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, so it was the perfect for I know for when I've run that in the past, and it sounds like you guys, it's just the perfect jolt of energy. And then you my last question for you two is, did we get a good castle pick? I know that could be a little hit or miss, but did we get a good pick going through that castle?
I actually haven't even looked. I didn't even think about it till right now, so I hope we did, but...
Are you talking about photo pass people or is...
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't looked at those. People. I haven't looked either.
I have homework for you now. You're going to have to go look, and then I'm going to need you to post it to the group because I want to see those castle photos. It's the best photo of typically any weekend is that running through that castle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to go look.
John, what else you got?
I just thought of, I know you had told me that you guys didn't stop for characters, but was there any like cool characters that you ran by? Like, was there any, I didn't even look at any other things. Like if there was any like rare characters out.
I thought it was cool seeing Maribel and Isabel together. Just to me, I've never seen them duo together. So that was cool for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, and I can't remember the character's name, but the alligator at the beginning.
Louis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool to see him. And then that I also like in Magic Kingdom when we got to the backstage area and where they store all the prairie floats. Yeah. They had three princesses on a prairie float right there. That's cool.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, that is a unique little spot back there, seeing all the floats and stuff. That's a cool spot.
Yep.
So I can kind of wrap us up here. I've just got a couple wrap-up questions for you here that I'm going to ask both of you. We just finished the weekend. We kind of ramped down a little bit. Have we started to think about what's next? Are we signing up for anything else later this year? We've never done Marathon Weekend. We've done Wine and Dine, Springtime Surprise, and now Princess. Is Marathon Weekend maybe on the books this upcoming year?
I would love to do it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I believe I put on the Facebook group that if this weekend went well, I'd consider it Marathon Weekend. So I am definitely thinking about that. I do at the I'm probably getting knee surgery this in a couple weeks, so I'm sure it'll be better by then, but I probably will have to check with the wife too.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's great. Trust me. That was my attempt support. At peer pressure. That was my attempt at peer pressure to get you guys signed up to come run with the group at Marathon Weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. All the wives love hanging out together. That's a lot of fun.
And then you could bring all of your refillable cups and hand it out to the group, and you'll be the most popular person there.
Sounds great.
My last question here, and then we can wrap up. Jim, I know you're really at, you've been a lot more active in the group as of late in the Sorcerer's Run Club page. What has the group meant to you? Has it helped you throughout this journey of training? And what would you maybe recommend to people that haven't joined the group or started a journey to actually work out? And Sarah, I'd love to hear from you too.
Yeah, it's, I think the, when it most hit me was when I posted that 10 mile run, how sore I was and how I didn't know if I could finish out. And there's so many comments saying, you can do it, get to the race. You're going to have a lot of adrenaline and it's not going to be an issue. You got this. So all these people encouraging me at that point, it's like, yeah, I get that. Now I can see how this is good. I'm not much of a social media person, so it's having me do that much is kind of out of my comfort zone. So, yeah, it's just jump in and try it and see if you like it. There's nothing wrong or bad going to happen. Everyone's so nice and encouraging. That's no reason not to. So.
Yeah, he always gets really excited when anyone ever messages him back or comments on his photos. And he always tells me, I posted this and this is what everyone said. So it's fun to hear.
I'm mobile.
No, that's great. And I just want to personally thank you two for coming on here after a long weekend. It's late, just kind of talking through the weekend. And honestly, every time I get to see, and why I love Run Disney is you get to see family members connecting, running together, meeting people, and just building this community out little by little, and just of positivity and just being able to share these moments together. And talking to you two has just energized me, and just really special. I think that you two make the time to maybe not run together like Sarah said, but to at least make the worst part of sitting in the 3 hours before the race in the corral together. So
yeah.
I personally want to thank you two for coming on so much today. It was really nice to walk us through the weekend, and thank you guys so much.
Yeah, of course. Our pleasure.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making us all jealous all weekend, because while we were all sitting at home too, wishing we were there.
Thank you so much, Sarah and Jim, for coming on and just sharing your experience over Princess Weekend. It was awesome that you guys had a chance to enjoy the weekend together, share that time in the corral, and have that time to see all that Run Disney course had to offer for you guys. Thank you, Matt and John, for just leading us through the questions there. And look who it is. Ankur is choosing to join us here. Right now, we're going to hop into just to answer a couple questions that the group had on the Sorcerer's Running page. And the one question that the majority of the group hopped on was what our thoughts are, what we practice when it comes to pre-run nutrition and during run nutrition. And so we're going to go around the table and just basically answer two quick questions right off the bat. How long before your run can you eat that your stomach feels comfortable? And how, what, and what is it that you eat that you find gives you the energy that you need? So we're going to go to Matt first. And Matt, how long before a run can you eat? And what is it that you eat?
Yeah. So for me, typically I can eat right up to an hour before the race or my run or my long run, my short run. And I keep it really simple. So I have a sensitive stomach. I'm eating plain toast with oat butter. So plain bread toasted with oat butter an hour before. And that's all I'm going to consume prior to a long run.
Awesome. And you find that that can digest and it sits okay in your stomach?
Yeah, I've had no issues. And with a little bit of water, it works really well for me. Yeah, especially the oat butter, just to give it a little bit of flavor. But the plain toast sits really well in my stomach. And I've had no issues over the past few years of running with just eating that prior.
Awesome. John, what is it? How long before your run can you eat? And what do you tend to eat in that case?
Usually I will have something, whether it be like a vitamin water or like a Gatorade-y type of something with electrolytes. That's usually like an hour before I run because I like to consume that and then get that out of me before I start running, so I don't have to stop and porta potty type things. And then as far as like food, maybe I usually, if it's anything a 10K or over, I'll have a banana, which I could eat right up until, I don't know, 10 minutes before I run. Or I'll eat one of those, like the Stinger waffle type things, one of those things. But if I eat, that's I can eat that right before. But if I do eat anything with that, like water an hour before, it'd be like yogurt or something.
Awesome. Matt, you had a question for John?
Yeah, I have a totally sarcastic question. But John, when do you start training for drinking around the world? Are you drinking beers after your long runs? Are you having different types of drinks just to kind of get your body used to it?
Oh, that's just a year long process. I just stay in that beer shape all year.
That's genetic.
It's smart. You've really got to train your body over the course of a year.
Yeah, there's a bunch of breweries around here, and usually I like to hit them hard on the weekends. Get that training.
So if you want to hit the John Castano training plan, it's a year long process.
Yep.
Anker, how long do you tend to eat before your runs, and what do you find works for you?
If anything less than a 10K, I usually don't eat much. If I'm doing a 10K or longer, I'll do about 2 hours before. I'll eat a bagel with cream cheese, strawberry cream cheese. My wife will do either plain cream cheese or butter on hers, or peanut butter. I don't really love peanut butter. It's a little heavy for me, so I don't do it. But a bagel, I think, is a simple carb. Dairy, some people can't tolerate it, so just it's something to test out. I really haven't had a problem with it. I don't have too many stomach problems. So bagel, I eat it on the bus ride before any marathon, half marathon. I eat it on the bus, and then I don't do much else. I don't do coffee or anything else because I don't want to have to pee during the race or during a long run.
So strawberry cream cheese, if someone handed you an urban garlic, are you like, no, thank you?
No, I did urban garlic, I think, with Justin before his race in Charleston. I don't love urban garlic. I'm a sugary strawberry cream cheese guy.
All right. So from the group, it kind of sounds like within an hour of your run, you guys can generally handle something carbohydrate-based, something easy to digest, give you the energy. That's something to keep in mind. And finding what works well for you, how long your stomach before your run can handle that, figure that out, because that really does come important. So the next part that we're going to talk about is during your run. Generally, when you start going over an hour, you start looking at energy and hydration. So we're going to go back to Matt. What is it that you've tended to find works well for you while you're running, and how frequently would you take something?
Yeah, so I'll preface this by saying is I'm always going to drink a coffee as well before I start running. And I say that because that caffeine kind of helps jolt me through my run. And I'm going to talk a little bit longer runs here. So anything, like you said, Kyle, over an hour where it can sustain pace. I'm typically going to bring two gels with me. And I have I think it's the Huma gels that I use. They're chia seed based. They work really well for me and my stomach. It's very simple ingredients, and the consistency goes down extremely easy. You can take it even without water. So I'm always going to carry two of those that I'm going to take, and I'm always going to carry an extra one just because if one drops or touches the ground, as a germaphobe, I just can't put my mouth on the thing. If it touches the ground, it's just not going to happen. So, and that's happened more than I would like to say it has. From a liquid standpoint, I'm always going to try to carry a water with electrolytes in it. Maybe it's a half Gatorade, half water, or a tablet in with my water just to supplement my electrolytes as I'm running. I try to keep it really, really, really simple. If I go on an extremely long run, 16, 17, 18 miles, I have been known to bring an Uncrustable before because I get very, very hungry. In the middle of like a 12 or 13 mile run, I might stop for a minute and eat because once I get really hungry and my stomach starts rumbling, it's all I can focus on. And I become grumpy and I'm just like, you know what, let me just eat half an Uncrustable right now. And I have the diet of like a 6 year old. So you give me a banana, peanut butter and jelly and bread, I'm typically good.
Oh, so if you see Matt on the side of the road just chowing down in a sandwich, it's normal. Just leave him alone. He's good.
It's always peanut butter and jelly. Everyone can make fun of me. I go to work, I make a peanut butter and jelly. My lunch typically every day is peanut butter and jelly. So I might change the type of peanut butter, but that's about as exotic as I'm getting.
Your awesome. Mom cuts your crust off for you when you were a child. Is that why it's Uncrustable as opposed to a regular sandwich?
All right, I know this is a running podcast, but I will get into this now. Absolutely not. It was always diagonally cut. And the crust is the best part. It's about the bread and the crust. It's the best part. But I will say that I do have a dairy intolerance. So I can't have dairy. I'm allergic to it. So for me, finding products, Kyle, to your point, took a lot of testing of a lot of different plant-based products to find the one that actually worked for me in my body. There were some that I would spike and I would just crash on some of these gels. Like, and then there were others that I had to like emergency stop use, like a public park bathroom, which again, if you know me, is not a great combination. So I had to really just test, like guess and check and test over the course of time around what supplements actually work for me. And I found a really good routine right now that I use.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. So for those that do have some gut or intolerances, finding what works best for you that goes down, stays down, just stick with that. We're going to move to John. John, do you have a certain type of gel or chew that you tend to use? Do you just go and go and go? What works for you?
I do usually use the gel. What are they? Goo? Is that what they call them? Is that how you pronounce that? I usually use those if I do use a gel, or I'll use like the Stinger gummies. As far as like, I'll really only use that if I'm doing a half or more. And I will probably, as far as timing, it'd be like maybe like 7 miles before. Maybe probably not before a race, probably like 7 miles, 6-7 miles, and maybe at like a 10 mile if I'm gonna. So like maybe every 6-7 miles if I'm doing like a marathon. As far as like, and I only do that during races. When I run at home, I never take anything. I don't bring water, I don't bring any of that stuff. So it's just I train myself with nothing, so when I just, it helps me out in a race because I have that little extra boost in a race. But as far as training, I don't use anything.
So what I'm hearing is you're basically the David Goggins of the Sorcerer's Captains. That's what I'm hearing right now.
If you want to say
awesome. Yeah, thanks, John. So Ankur, same question. What tends to work for you and how frequently?
So I'm like John. I don't bring much on a long run if I'm training. Maybe water, but that's it. I don't bring anything else. During a race, I will bring a couple of the goo gels. Again, I use the sugary strawberry ones. Those work fine for me. I will say be careful with goo gels. They are pretty sticky. I almost always get my hands kind of sticky after eating them, and it's just a little bit annoying. I haven't really tried much else. Those work. So I use those, and then I use the Gatorade chews in between if I need them. Again, I mostly carry them. I don't usually need them very often. during a race, because the Disney races, they have so many stops. I don't carry any water or any other liquid. It's just extra weight to carry. I'd rather just stop at the water stops because everybody slows down there anyway. And I make sure to eat the goo gels pretty close to a water stop because they are a little bit heavy. So if I use one of those, I will try to wash them down with some water, because if I just do it plain, it's kind of, it doesn't sit very well. I used the waffle things before. Those work pretty well as well. If I'm like actually really hungry, if I feel like I'm crashing, I'll carry one of those, and that's sort of my safety option. But otherwise, yeah, I stick with the goo gels, the Gatorade shoes. I don't carry water or Gatorades. I just rely on the races for them, unless I know there's not gonna be a lot of stops. And then the waffle thing, whatever it's called, is my emergency safety option.
Awesome. So you bring up a good point, is knowing what's on course. And if you can handle that, that means less weight, less that you have to carry. Thanks so much for sharing, Ankur. Matt, you put your hand up there. Do you have something to add there?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up too, where so much of kind of what you're doing once you find the fuel, one of the things I struggled with was, where am I going to put all this stuff? So for me, part of the testing is like, where am I putting my gel? So I'm going to run with maybe a couple extra gels just to get used to where they are. So you guys know I like to put mine in my arm sleeves at the top. It fits well. I can grab them easy and it's not in my shorts. But part of running with this stuff is not just taking it and what works for you. It's where you're going to put it. So I always like to bring that up, because I was putting them in my shorts and I was fumbling and I couldn't get at it. It was in the back zipper. The back zipper got stuck. Typically what I mean is running with me is a mess. So there's always something going on somewhere. So just testing that out, I think it's something important.
That's actually really important, yeah. Because I've tested that out before, and then I made the mistake when I ran with Justin and Charleston. I didn't check any of my clothing, and I had a lot of issues that race. Out of my shorts, my whole tie came out. So I was running with like loose shorts the whole race. A couple of my gels fell out for unknown reasons. It was a little bit of a mess. So just test everything out. Even if it's stuff you've used before on other races, test it again a week or two before your real race, so you know it's not going to be a problem and that it hasn't gotten too old or just stopped working in the time that you tested it last time.
So do any of you guys use like a hydration belt or a storage belt or anything like that you take? Yeah, Ankur, you're nodding your head. Yeah. Which brand or what kind do you tend to use?
Yeah, I use the hydration belt. I can't remember the brand now. It has two pockets on each side. I don't use it for water unless the race doesn't have enough stops. I actually take those out and I put my gels there, and I'll wrap it around the little ties that are there to hold your water bottles in. I'll put my gels around there. And then I have a zipper in the front, which is where I'll put kind of my emergency stuff. My phone, I wear the compression shorts with pockets kind of down at my thighs. So those will be where I put my phone. I don't like having my phone inside of a zipper, especially on Disney race, because I feel like taking it out all the time, it just gets in the way. So my phone is always easy access there, especially if I want to look at my time or, you know, something first, I need to change my music for some reason. It's easier if it's on my thigh. I hate the phone in the arm. I know a lot of people like that. I can't run with it there. It flops around too much. I don't like the weight there. So I don't put anything in my arms the way Matt does with his gels. I put everything on my waist.
Yeah. And so again, finding what works for you and making sure that that's what you do each and every time. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get. So if it is the arm, if it's in a compression short, if it's in a zippered pocket, just make sure that you can move the way that you need to move. Matt, is there anything that you tend to use for carrying your stuff other than your arm sleeves? Yeah.
Well, you know, on my training runs, I'm a Nike shill, you know that. So I run in the Nike Trail Lava Loop shorts. And I said the whole name so you can go look it up. It basically has like compartments all across the front waistband, a back zipper, and two giant side compartments that I could put a water bottle in one. I typically don't run with my phone, but in those I can, because I could put it in the side. And you can hold all your gels, your AirPod stuff. If it gets too hot, I can put my gloves in there. I can loop a jacket through it. So it's really just, I wouldn't wear them for a race necessarily. They're a little heavy, but it's nice just to go. If I'm going on a 10, 11, 12 mile run, I know I can just store everything in one spot, and they work really, really well for me.
So here's a fun fact. There's multiple times a week that Matt sends me just pictures of Nike stuff on sale at the Nike outlet. And my mouth is literally just jaw dropped in awe at how cheap and how accessible that stuff is. So honestly, if you have any questions about Nike product or anything, Matt is your go-to guy.
So do you remember when my Nike tights ripped and I chafed really, really, really hard and my wife had to come pick me up from the Starbucks after I was waddling there? Nike just returned them to me and I got my $80 back. So all the Nike stuff comes with 2-year manufacturer's warranty. I'm a shill for it. I've never paid full price for anything. So there's my plug for Nike.
And also, we're not sponsored by Nike. So just put that out there too.
But I am. No, I wish. I wish I was. I am not.
John, is there anything that you tend to find works well for you for carrying your stuff?
I usually, like Ankur, I have the compression shorts, which I use the pocket for my phone during races. But normally, like if I'm just running, my phone just goes in my pocket. My regular pocket doesn't move around too much. But as far as like carrying us, if I have like a flip belt with the zipper in the front, and there's a couple little openings that I just throw stuff in there. But that's all I use.
Oh, those flip belts come in really handy because they really don't take up a whole lot of room. You can stick them underneath of your shirt or in your short waistband if you need to. They're really, really thin. I mean, yeah, whatever
you can shove a lot of stuff in them too, because the little slits, and they're very stretchy. So,
well, thank you so much, guys, for again for answering the questions and sharing your guys' experience and what works well for you. John's going to lead us into our last bit here, just with a couple of shout outs.
Yeah, so we have a couple. We got three that we're going to highlight quick from that posted in the group the past week, even one today. So first was with Corey Reagan, who did her virtual 10K. I believe, yeah, it was a virtual for Princess, where she kind of hosted herself partway through and then used the group as her accountability to finish the last part of her race. And, you know, if you go back and look at it, some nice little comments of encouragement throughout that, and then her whole her finishing it, which is good to see. And then we have Brittany Dukes, who posted her 30-day activity from February, where she went from doing nothing to something, and she has a nice three weeks of doing Peloton, 18 active days. So that is a nice positive step forward to getting back on track. And then the last one is Ashley Cook, who actually posted a few hours ago about her first time ever doing a full mile without walking. So that was her accomplishment. And then she set the goal for March to just run 1 mile every day, rain or shine, just to get it done for the month of March.
Awesome. Well, good work, everybody. And anything that you're doing day in and day out, please feel free to post it in the group. We want to be that place of encouragement. We want to be that place that everyone has a chance to have a voice and have a say and get that pat on the back. We're going to wrap this show up here, guys. We're going to go to you, Ankur, first. Any final words before we close up here?
Thanks for our guests coming on. I apologize I couldn't be here, but Sunshine Surprise or Spring Surprise is a fun race. I did it a couple of years ago. Always a good time. You know, we don't always have a lot of representation there, but it's great to see someone there. So just thanks for coming on, and keep running, keep being active, and hope to see more people in the groups.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Matt, anything to add before we close?
Yeah, I'm not going to correct Ankur and say it was Princess Weekend, not Springtime Surprise or Sunshine Surprise, as he calls it. It's okay. He's a doctor. I'm not going to make a deal about it. So we can fix that in post. I'm just kidding. No, I think the thing I took away, I love doing this with you guys. Any excuse to come chat with you three, I don't need one. And just trying to help as many people get into some sort of physical activity, get into running, and really just an excuse to add more people to Marathon Weekend or Wine and Dine Weekend to come hang out. But Jim and Sarah coming on, I mean, it was awesome. I want to thank them again. And just hearing Sarah talk about the encouragement Jim would get from posting something and getting a reaction, just to know that, like, we actually do all care about each other. It makes you feel really good. So I'm excited about the rest of the year for the group, and really to watch everybody achieve all these awesome goals that they have.
It's awesome. From first step to last step, we're going to keep you going. John, anything to add there?
Yes. Just like everybody else has said, but thanks to Jim and Sarah for coming on. And just, it's nice to see family running together, and then that extends to us as this big family group of people from all over the place. So it's kind of a full circle thing there. And then just counting down the days to spending lots of money and registering and going through that whole process for the next couple races, but just keeping positive thoughts of getting everybody registered, and look forward to that whole, actually, I look forward to that day because we're all on Zoom together, and it's a nice, it makes it a bit, it's stressful, but it makes it a fun, stressful day, morning.
Fun, stressful is still good, stressful. Yeah. So I want to say thank you, Jim and Sarah, again for coming on. Thank you, Ankur, Matt, and John, for taking your time to come on and chat with us here. As mentioned, March 12th at 10 a.m., registration for Wine and Dine will open. Keep an eye on the Sourcers page, as we'll have a live link to basically share those links for registration. And we're going to sign off here, guys. Thank you again, and hope you have a great day and keep moving forward.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
Happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us, and when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin. Let the wonder.
This has been YDF Media Productions.